Blog Talk Radio. Alright, alright, alright. You're gonna learn today. Alright, alright, alright. You're gonna learn today.
Alright, alright, alright. We're gonna learn tonight. Shalom, good evening, Israel. In ancient Hebrew greeting that I learned from our elders at One West Sons, One Fifth Street. Yahweh Bahasham, Yahweh Shai, Barakat Tum, Yahweh Shema Alathan, Bahasham, Yahweh Shai, to the brothers and sisters scattered through the four corners of the earth. I'd like to say welcome to another episode of Sword of Truth Presents Bible Talk. As hopefully you're getting to know, my name is Machado. I am one of the teachers here with the ISBHBK, that's the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. We have schools located in San Antonio, Texas, Houston, Texas, Norfolk, Virginia, and Rochester, New York, as far as the ISBHBK goes. We are also affiliated with the Mashra Yashra'ala. We're also affiliated with all Hebrew Israelites that are teaching the awakening of the nation of Israel as we eagerly await the return of our Lord and Savior, the Messiah, who the world calls Jesus Christ, who was saying in the ancient Hebrew, HaMashiach Yahweh Shai. Welcome. And trying to go ahead and get into tonight's class. Yeah, excuse me. It's windy here in Albuquerque. So there's a lot of dust being kicked up. There's still a lot of pollen. As the temperature gauges are rising, not like in South Texas, I heard in San Antonio, it's triple degree weather down there. Peace and blessing and coolness to the families down there. Well, here in Albuquerque, though, like I said, it gets about almost 90, like 86 degrees today, but it's windy. So you know, Albuquerque is like a big giant dust bowl. So a lot of dust in the air, a lot of pollen in the air. So still being affected by these things, and this climate. It is what it is. All right. So last time I had the class, I had the realm, the helm. We was going over set apart. One needs to be set apart, and from the beginning. And what we started doing was we was bringing down from Genesis chapter 1. We was coming through and showing how the Lord had a determination to have specific people set apart. This also was what the word holy means. He had specific people set apart to do his will. And from last week's show, if you missed it, it's called Set Apart from the Beginning, Part 1. This is a continuation of that class. Now, if you check us out last week, after that class, we came back with, there was a class that myself and Bonabod did on that Thursday, and then Bonabod came back on Friday with a class. That was pretty enlightening. So as you know, if you missed any of our shows, if you go to www.blogtalkradio.com / Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A, our episode page will come up. And you'll see a list of all our episodes going back for the past 11 years, going on 11 years. Matter of fact, this year, I believe, is episode number 989 or 990, as we were right around the corner from making our 1,000 episode mark. Please stay tuned for that. We want to try for something special together for that. But continuing with our class today, I want to continue on this topic. We were just starting to get into the beast of the earth. All right. So I'm joined by the brother Yonatan. I'm going to ask him to go to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to start with 21. We're going to read down through Genesis chapter 1 and verse 25, just to get the briefest recap I can of what we went over last week, so we can continue on with this week.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 21. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth.
And again, for a more detailed breakdown of these same verses that we went over, please check out our show that we did last week, okay?
Which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so.
Right. So here again, we were going through last week, catching up again this week, the beast of the earth. Now, according to what we've been taught through religion that was brought to the Americas by so-called white people, in 1492, with Christopher Columbus and the Catholic priests, the Jesuit priests, the Protestant Reformation with the Pilgrims coming through, and all the different forms of religion that we've learned since the colonizing started here in the Americas, we've been painted or spoon-fed this picture that it was just a one-man Adam. It was the one woman Eve. They were butt naked. Obviously, they were Caucasian. They were butt naked. And they always had like pictures of them at one tree. And on this tree, wrapped around the tree trunk, is a snake. And the tree happens to have an apple hanging from it. So the picture, our understanding that's been given to us again by colonizers, is that it was the one man Adam, the one woman Eve. They were butt naked. There's the snake that crawled up the tree and fed them the apple. And we've been force fed this lie and this depiction since 1492. Well, as we're getting into this, it's much greater than it goes much deeper, right? It's much greater. Brian, sorry about this, brothers and sisters. I got this add-on here that won't go off. Anyway, hold on. There's always going to be some type of technical difficulty. I do apologize. We've been on this computer all week without these pop-up ads coming up, and all of a sudden now we're into the show now, and now this pop-up ad keeps popping up and won't let us gain control of our switchboard. So, okay. And you know what? I fixed it. Cool. I was somehow trying to break the flow. I was trying to break the flow. Okay. So we have that picture that's been given to us from 1492. And as we now, we know that one scripture we always like to read is Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16, where it says, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. That and no one of these shall fail. That when you actually go and read the book, as opposed to the images, the media, the religions that are giving us pictures, their pictures, their tainted pictures, their quote-unquote whitewashed pictures, that to actually read what the book says and we compare it to the images that have been forced down our throats since 1492 is two totally different things. None of them match, okay? None of them match when we actually read what the book says and as opposed to, again, what religion has pushed on us. Real quick, let me get Amos chapter 8, verse 11. I know we're in Genesis chapter 1, but let's get Amos chapter 8 and verse 11.
Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord.
All right, cool. So, here is a prophecy that we're reading about that from the time of Amos, that since the time he prophesied, the Most High had to prophesy, what he wrote here in Amos 7, 8, verse 11, that there's going to come a time where there's going to be a famine. But this particular famine wasn't going to be a famine that you might be used to seeing on TV where there's no food, you got flies flying around somebody's face, extended bellies, starvation as far as food goes or sustenance. But this particular famine was going to be a famine or a lack of us hearing the words of God, but God's people not hearing his words. And when did this actually really take place? When did the pinnacle or the peak of this actually take place? In 1492, when the colonizers first got here to the Americas, when they first got here to the Western Hemisphere, and they started spoon-feeding us their lies, again, about the Bible, about God, and forcing us to accept their religions. For as much as the pilgrims were supposed to come over here in the pursuit of freedom of religion, but they forced their Christianity upon the so-called Native Americans. They forced their Christianity in their form of, whether it was through Protestant, being a Protestant, a Puritan, a Quaker, a Catholic, a Methodist, a Episcopalian, a Lutheran, a Methodist, a Seventh-day Adventist. In spite of the lie they put on their money, in God we trust, in spite of the lie they put in the Constitution, the freedom of religion, there was no freedom of religion for the so-called natives that were already here. At the threat of torture, at the threat of being killed, being lynched, being sold, that we had to accept their religion. We had to accept their lies as truth. So we were not hearing the words of God. That's why if we were truly hearing the words of God, we would know damn well that Christmas is a pagan holiday. It has absolutely nothing to do with Jesus Christ. But why is it one of the biggest Christian holidays in on the planet, especially in the Americas? It's because we've not been hearing the words of God. We've not been hearing the Bible. Why is Easter second biggest Christian holiday in the Western Hemisphere here? Because we've not been hearing the words of God. When Jesus Christ resurrected, there was not a rabbit that started laying eggs. And that's what's to commemorate his resurrection. That's nowhere in the Bible. That's nowhere in the Word of God. And many other such things that we've been spoon-fed. Again, including this picture of Adam and Eve being the one man Adam, the one girl Eve. They're butt naked, and there's a snake actually crawling around the tree, and then they ate an apple. We've not been hearing the words of God, because when we actually read the Word of God, it tells you that they bit of the fruit, but it didn't never tell you what the fruit was. It never tells you that it was an actual fruit. But because we've been force-fed their religion, we've been force-fed their perspective, we've been force-fed their lies, we really think that that an apple is what they ate, and that's what got them kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Just these two people. And again, all the our perspectives and our understanding of God have been force-fed to us from our oppressors. They've been force-fed to us through a lot of whitewashing. As you go back and look at all the icons that the people of the Bible, the Israelites, left to themselves all throughout the Middle East, all throughout as we spread through Europe, we spread through Russia, we spread through through Asia. We have many icons and pictures of ourselves, depicting ourselves as we truly are, dark-skinned people. But we see the whitewashing of a lot of the figures that we left of ourselves, a lot of paintings and artifacts and archaeology that we left of ourselves, we see the whitewashing of this on an epic level, on an epic level. To where now, we're at the point where we're at right now, to where we think it was Adam and Eve, butt naked in the garden, eating the apple. So there's been a time that I'm going to ask you another time to read that one more time.
Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord.
That we have not been hearing the words of God. We have not been hearing the words of God. And that's why it's important that we read. From Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want or remain, because God's mouth has commanded and his spirit has gathered them together. We go to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4. It tells us that when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Then, is Christ white? Is Christ a Baptist? Is he a Methodist? Is Christ coming to save the Episcopalian? Is Christ coming to save the Seventh-day Adventist? It's a mystery. Well, all the different types of Christian religions in the world today, it truly is which one's the right one. But without going and reading the Word, without going actually reading the Bible, you'll never know. You'll never know. So there is a mystery. So now when we go to Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8, the book of Nehemiah, the 8th chapter and the 8th verse, the book of Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8, let's read what this says. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8.
Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading.
Right. So there was a time when we as Israelites, while we were still in the promised land, and this year is during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, that we had forgotten the law of God while still living in the promised land. Matter of fact, I believe this is right before, this during the time of the Persian and Medes when Nehemiah and Ezra had their reign and their judgments. And it tells you that Nehemiah actually found the book of the law that had been hid. And so in bring the book of the law out, which is the Torah, the scriptures, the scrolls, that they read in the book of the law of the Lord distinctly and gave the sense. And this is what we have. This is what we've not been taught to do through religion, to read the book of the Lord distinctly, and again, when we look at the word distinctly, it means separately, with distinctness, not confusedly, without the blending of one part or thing with another. Don't bring in what you learn from religion or what you've been taught through from generations of lies into what the Bible's saying now. Don't do that. Don't blend what your mom said, what your grandma said, what your dad said, what the pastor said, what the deacon said. Don't blend all those stories and fairy tales. Don't blend all those things in when reading the scriptures. And because that's what's definitely been has happened, that from 1492, we've been getting force-fed their lies about the people of the Bible, about the stories of the Bible, about the context of the Bible. And now we read it now, we blend it with what's been passed on for generations, for generations, for generations, which have been a bunch of lies, instead of coming back and reading distinctly. All right? So with that, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. And verse 24.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, and cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth after his kind.
And last week we went into the creature and showed that, yes, mankind in the Bible are considered creatures. Mankind are living. Mankind are moving. So when God created these creatures, he created people also, right? He created people also. And when it says after their kind, meaning even here, before Adam and Eve were created, we have, for lack of a better word, there were nations created, even before Adam and Eve. Now, back this up even a little bit more, we're going to deal with the word beast, and hence the title of the show, Beast Mode. Yeah, we're going to find out that there were definitely people created before Adam and Eve. And the Lord calls them beasts. All right? Reading on, verse 25, please.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 25. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind.
And the beast of the earth after his kind. So as well as woolly mammoths, saber-toothed tigers, brontosauruses, tyrannosaurus rexes, hippopotamuses, rhinoceroses, hippopotamuses. He made the beasts of the earth, including people. Including people after their kind. Go ahead.
And cattle after their kind.
and all the different types of cattle out of their kind. Moose, elk, deer, all the different types of deer there are. All the different types of moose and bison and cows. Kobe beef, all the different types of cows and cattle all were created on this day also, including people that are known as beasts. Reading on.
And upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good.
And God saw that it was good. All right? God saw that it was good. Now, let's go dive further into God calling men beasts, that mankind is also known as beasts. And we're going to go to Psalms chapter 73 and verse 22. We're going to go to the book of Psalms chapter 73 and verse 22. That God, when we read distinctly in the Bible, God does refer to people as beasts, all right? Not just the animal kingdom, not just what you see on National Geographic, but that, yes, people in the Bible are also considered beasts, all right? So this is for the Psalms chapter 73 and verse 22.
Psalms chapter 73, verse 22. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee.
And now we're seeing this is King David, all right? And as we're using this precept, that if you're foolish and you're ignorant, you're considered a beast, all right? To be foolish, I mean, you operate off of just instincts. You're very impulsive. You're foolish, all right? And you're ignorant. You're not taught. You haven't been instructed. You just operate off of basic instinct. In the eyes of God, you are a beast. You're on the same mental level as any other animal here on the planet Earth. Animals operate off of what? Their instincts. They operate off of what? Their feelings. They operate off of what? Emotions. When we operate in the same fashion, when people operate in the same fashion, we're no different than the animals. To where part of this man's science wants to teach us that they're mammals like we're mammals. Like we're mammals just like a gorilla is a mammal, just like a whale is a mammal, just like a live bird. A dolphin, all right, that we're all mammals. And in that sense, well, when we operate just off of our feelings and our impulses, we are beasts. From there, I know that for a lot of people, from what they've been taught from school and so-called science, and so-called scientists or what have you, that this is contrary to what they've been taught. But all we're doing now is reading distinctly in the Bible to see what the Bible actually says. All right? From there, let's go to – there's a couple of scriptures I wanted to pull up, I wanted to get. Let's get that. Let's go to Psalms. Chapter 69 and verse 5. Let's look at the book of Psalms, chapter 69 and verse 5. All right, to further back up the point that, yes, even in the Bible, people, mankind, are considered beasts when they operate on a beast-based level. When you operate not off of the word of God, not off of what you've learned from God, but what just you know instinctively as an animal. Well, your animal passions, your animal, the basis of behaviors, all right? Let's go to Psalms chapter 69, verse 5.
Psalms chapter 69, verse 5. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee.
So when we sin, meaning we go against the laws of God, we're foolish. And that makes us beastly. Because why did we go against the laws of God or the word of God? Because we went with our feelings. I went with my feelings. I went with how I felt. It seemed good to me. I was being impulsive, so I reacted. So I reacted to the situation. Well, that's a beast. That's foolish. From there, let's go to Psalms chapter 92 and verse 6. Psalms chapter 92 and verse 6.
Psalms chapter 92 and verse 6. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this.
All right, cool. You know, I jumped the gun a little bit. Well, let me catch this up. Where am I at? Creature abundant. I jumped the gun a little bit with this one right here. Where are those scriptures? I'm sorry, brothers and sisters, this is what I wanted. Before we get that, let's go to Psalms chapter 49, we're going to start verse 11. Before we get there, let's go to Psalms chapter 49 and verse 11. Now, in the world, there's a term that's known as an alpha male, right? And I'm going to read the definition of an alpha male from dictionary.com, right? From dictionary.com, it says alpha male. A male animal having the highest rank in a dominance hierarchy. Number two, the most dominant, powerful, and assertive man in a particular group. All right, so being an alpha male, you're trying to establish yourself. You're trying to establish your power. You're trying to establish and assert yourself as the one in charge. All right, and these are animalistic type instincts. All right, as we're going to read on, that the need to make sure you have a name for yourself, like an animal, the need for you to mark your scent. Like that's why in a club, the dudes walk around with the shirt open. The three top buttons open, trying to show off a little chest hair. They walk around and they square shoulder everybody, looking for a fight. Staring at everybody, staring at every other guy, see who's gonna look at them, like the cock of the walk. That they got, they're preening and they got to be seen. Thinking that somehow in a real animalistic type fashion, that because they're walking around preening themselves, putting themselves like an animal, that's supposed to attract the woman. Like in the animal world, like a peacock. Why does a peacock spread his feathers out? See all the different eyes on his feathers? He's praying. I got to be seen. I got to establish myself. If we go look in the among a pride of lions, the top male or the males are fighting for what? Dominance. So I can get the woman. So if there's any food, I'm the first one. It's a me first mentality. Which is very animalistic, which is very beast-like, and just like when if you're a parent and you're dealing with infants going into that toddler stage, hopefully they learn it by the time they get out of toddler stage to share. Well, one of the first damn things that a toddler learns, that infant learns as far as speaking, mine, 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 and you have to teach them share, share. Share that there's this need that to establish myself as I'm the one. There's a need to if there's something I want, I'll you see this in baby infants, that me first mentality, like an animal, a survival instinct, like animals. How many times you put the baby in the baby chair? Because you know it's time for the baby to eat, and the baby's in the baby chair, and you're preparing the bottle for the baby, and the baby starts throwing a fit. Because he sees the bottle, and now he's throwing a fit. Now, if he had the capability to reason, he would see, why did
Why did you put him in the baby chair? You know he's hungry. Why are you at the stove warming up the bottle? You know he's hungry. But why is he throwing a fit? Because he sees the bottle, and I want the bottle. And you're keeping it from me. So I'm about to throw a temper tantrum. I'm going to throw a fit. I'm going to act a fool. And is that not what we call it? Acting a fool? I'm about to act a fool up in here. I'm about to tear some stuff up. I'm about to go off. Y'all going to make me lose my mind up in here, up in here. What, lose your mind? You're acting foolish. You're acting very beastly. You're about to do a temper tantrum, and that's in us. That characteristic is in us. So Psalms chapter 49 and verse 11, as we'll let the scriptures kind of describe this alpha male, this alpha mentality, this animal beast-like mentality. Psalms chapter 49 verse 11.
Psalms chapter 49 and verse 11. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever.
Now, and going into this, that it, this is describing, this is David again describing a wicked man, wicked people. But it tells you that their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever. When that alpha male, a lion, I'll just use that for now. When that male lion shows up, what is his thinking process? That all the women of this pride are going to be his forever. That it's all his. As he lets that roar out to let all the other lions know, daddy's home. That don't mess with me. That I'm about to tear some stuff up. This is how people react in the same fashion. That they're so dominant and got to be seen and known. The lust of the world, the pride of life. Everybody's got to see me. Everybody got to see how I'm flossing. They got to see how big my house is. They got to see how big my cars are. My car collection is. They got to see how much jewelry I have. You got to see my bank account. I go to the even from in every style of life. Among black people, is how many chains you can get. If you can get the gold grill with Western people, the cowboys, I'm getting the biggest belt buckle I can find. I'm getting the biggest belt buckle, and I'm getting the most expensive, abominable tennis cowboy boots I can find, and the biggest hat, 10-gallon hat, because I've got to be seen. And I'm going to wear the tightest shirt that I can squeeze my arms through the armholes through so that it can be, everybody can see the arms. They can see the biceps. So it can be known I'm here. It can be known how big, how great, how bad I am. If that's not an animal instinct, please tell me what is then. That I've got to be seen and known, and that all this is mine. Everything that I built this, I put this together, is mine. You better not touch it. You might even see a male lion kill one of his pups, one of his own cubs, because the cub is intruding upon his space. That this is mine. How dare you touch what is mine? This is the nature. You see this among people all day. So in Psalms chapter 49, verse 11, again, it says, their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever. That is all mine, as far as the eye can see. Reading on.
And their dwelling places to all generations.
And they will preen. They will walk around, and let everybody see it's all mine. Reading on.
They call their lands after their own name.
And then they make sure this is mine. This is Hatfield land. This is the Jones house. This is the Jones family, whatever it is. They got to make sure that their name is going to continue. That we call it so-called legacy. I got to leave a legacy about our family. I got to leave a name. I got to leave a mark. Killjoy was here. It's got to be known I was here. I did something. Why do bears go and put scratches in trees of the territory they're walking? So anybody, that if other bears come up,
they can see, oh, snap, okay. And they'll piss over everything. They'll piss on everything. So if other male lions come in, you can smell how strong my pheromones are. You can, but how strong my piss is on this tree, that, you know, I'm marking my territory. I'm marking my space. You're going to know I'm here. You see the same behavior in people. You see the exact same behavior in people. And people get we go through depression. I feel like I'm not gonna be remembered. It was all for nothing. That if I don't leave something, how's it gonna know that I was ever here? I gotta leave my mark. People gotta know that I was here. Reading on.
Verse 12. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not.
Man being in honor abideth. You trying to build up your own honor? It's all about you? That don't work with the Most High. When you read through the Bible, all the greatest men of the Bible were the most humble, meekest, contrite people that God could find. They weren't doing it trying to make a name for themselves so they can remember for how great they were. Every hero you read about in the Bible was a hero because he made sure God was first. And it wasn't about him leaving a legacy. It wasn't about him leaving his mark. It wasn't about him making a name for himself. Like Nimrod, the very first conqueror we read about in the Bible, that he had to make a name for himself, naming cities after himself. Conquering other nations, conquering other people, going to war with other people, to make a name for himself. I've got to be seen. I've got to be known. Why are some of the greatest architects, why some of the architects even from the ancient world, why it was about building such the pyramids or building the Eiffel Tower or the Great Wall of China or just the architecture? Was it why do presidents even today leave a library or they build a school or they build something? So that they can leave a name. They can leave their name. So that they can have that honor. But now, for all the people that fought that way, I'm jumping ahead a little bit. I know I'm jumping just a little bit. He had a lot of people doing the same thing before the flood, before Noah's flood, the flood where God saved Noah. They went through extensive means of building cities after themselves, to make names for themselves, world records at themselves, if you will, to be known as great conquerors, great founders of cities, great founders of civilizations. And when the flood came, what happened to all that honor they fought so hard to get? It drowned with them. That we don't know the names of none of those people. For as hard as they're great. And today, the whole idol, the American idol, the Academy Award idol, the Grammy idol, the sports trophies, is for all the banners that hang in the arenas. It's for what? To leave a mark, to leave a name, to know that I am somebody. My jersey got retired. My number got retired. I am somebody. That's why we have the different sports halls of fame, the NBA Hall of Fame, the Baseball Hall of Fame, the Hockey Hall of Fame, the Baseball Hall of Fame, the Soccer Hall of Fame, the High School Hall of Fame, the College Hall of Fame. So I can get honor, so I can be recognized, so I can be seen, that it can be known that I was here. But the scripture's telling us here what? Nevertheless, a man being in honor abideth not. You fight so hard to have your name remembered that you forget all about God. Because, again, it's in that animal instinct, acting like an animal. Acting very impulsive and very foolishly, like an animal. Reading on.
He is like the beast that perish.
A man that's fighting for honor, his own honor, not God's honor, he's got to be remembered. It's all about him. He's got to make sure he has the biggest house, the biggest car. He has to have the flashiest jewelry. He had the biggest TVs. God says He's like what? He's like a beast. He's like the beasts that perish. That's how God views you. But in your mind, in your animalistic mind, it's survival. You've got to, it's all about you. It's not about God. It's not about the Most High. It's about you. Well, when you act like that, to have that mentality and operate, and that's the basis of everything you do, you're not fighting for God's honor. You're fighting for your name, your fame, your identity. God don't recognize that. Now, but hold that. Give me Isaiah 5. What kind of man is God looking for? What kind of man is God looking for? And God said he's going to dwell with. Let's go to Isaiah 57. I said 56. No, 56 is even better. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 66. We can start at verse 1.
Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool.
He says the heaven is his throne. A throne is something you sit in. So if you look at the universe, God says the universe is what he sits. So how magnificent is he? How great is he? If the universe is his throne, where he sits. Reading, and it says what? And the earth is his footstool. Reading on.
Where is the house that ye shall build unto me? And where is the place of my rest?
So for as much as you want to claim that your religion is the religion of God, God said, what house are you going to build me that I'm going to be there? What house can if the heaven is my throne and the whole earth happens to be my footstool, what house or what church are you building for me that God's like, no, that's me? Impossible. Reading on.
For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to
this, so he's, the Lord is bragging on himself a little bit. I already made everything. So what house are you going to build me that I'm in your church? What house are you going to build me that I'm in your religion? If I already built it, how you going to come back now and take what I built? I built the earth, and now you taking the earth and go form bricks and build a house? How is that for me? How is that about me? I made it all. But for as great as the Lord is, as magnificent and as powerful and omnipotent and omniscient the Heavenly Father is, read the next part.
But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word.
God is the creator. The one he's looking for that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at God's word. That at God's word, I'm doing everything God said to do. I forget my feelings, forget my emotions, forget my animal basic instincts. I'm going to do what God said. Not with my imagination, not what my mom says, not what's been passed down to me for generations upon generations upon generations, not because of a moon sign, not because of an omen, not because of an eclipse. No, I tremble at God's word. God said do this, so I'm doing what God said. Not what my mind says, not what I came up with in my own imagination, because last night I happened to eat some chili, so I had a bad dream. And I'm going to live my life based off of this bad dream I just had because I ate some hot chili. And in this dream, it seemed so real. It seemed so. You ever see dogs while they're asleep, they're running in their sleep? What makes you more different than running in his sleep? Having a nightmare. then are you going to follow your dreams? Like an animal, like a beast. But God's looking for that man that's going to tremble at his word, that's going to obey God and God's word, not his feelings, not his thoughts. Let's go to Isaiah. We're in Isaiah. Let's get Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. Let's get Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15 now.
Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity.
God inhabits eternity. The Father, the Creator, inhabits eternity. He has no beginning. He has no end. He has no start. He has no finish. He inhabits eternity. Read.
Whose name is holy.
Whose name is holy or set apart. Go ahead.
I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit.
I know this is contrary to what we've learned, that we're supposed to be the Mr. Popular in high school, supposed to be popular with all the chicks, the captain of the football team, the student body president, girlfriend, supposed to be the cheerleader of the pep squad, supposed to be a major in political science, and just has every last thing going for him. And that's who God's going to deal with. That's who God's working with. Because look how popular he is. And look how his family name is known throughout the city or throughout the whatever. That's a God-fearing man. Nope. That's not the type of person God wants to even deal with. Haven't y'all read the Bible? God always works with the underdogs. Always. God is always with the underdog. So, because the underdog is going to appreciate God's power and not his own power. The underdog is going to appreciate only by God did this happen. Not because of my manipulation. Not because of my calculations and my wisdom and my power and my aggressiveness and my ambitious mind. God ain't dealing with you. God is not dealing with God. The Father is telling you right here that he dwells with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Read.
To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones.
That's who the Father's dealing with. That's who the Father draws next to him. You know, and y'all heard it before. Blessed are the meek of the earth. Remember that? Not the strong, mighty ones. Not the animalistic ones. Not the alpha male ones that our conquerors, the colonizers, have enforced that image in our minds. That's why a lot of people have a lot of low self-esteem. Because I don't have what you got. I don't drive a car like what you drive. I don't have the clothes that you have. I don't have the prestige that you have. So my self-worth, my self-value is low of myself. There's something wrong with me. There's no way God is dealing with me. I'm too ugly. I'm too fat. I'm too poor. If you read the Bible, you would see who God chooses to dwell with, who God picks on his team each and every time. But because we've been living under the indoctrination of colonizers, that when they came here to the Americas, what did they do? Instead of living in a place where goodwill towards all men, truly a place of peace on earth, goodwill towards men, the colonizers, there was not going to be any peace until they were in charge. Once they killed people and conquered people and subjugated people, now it's a talk about peace. Then it became a talk about, okay, come on. We're talking about the same people who
call a nuclear bomb a peacekeeper. Ain't that kind of twisted? Why is it now called a peacekeeper? Because if you don't obey me, I'm going to destroy you with my nukes. I'm going to put out my Gatling gun. I'm going to put out my Colt 45. I'm going to put out my Smith & Wesson. I'm going to get my howitzer tank. And now we'll have peace as long as you are subjugated to my rules. As long as you obey and do things my way, we'll have peace. That's why I got a police force and the peace officers. Why do peace officers have Glocks on their hips and tasers and handcuffs? How is that peaceful? That's to make sure you obey. That's to make sure you do what they say. They will have peace as long as you don't think. As long as you accept our lie and our mentality and our lifestyle and how we do things, then you'll have peace. That's not the peace the Father's talking about. That's the type of peace you will see in an animal world. That's the type of peace you'll see among animals. All right, from there, going back now to Psalms chapter 49, and let's pick back up at verse 12 one more time.
Psalms chapter 49 and verse 12. Nonetheless, man being in honor, nonetheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beast that perish. This is their way. Is their folly.
It says this, their way is their folly. The way they live in God is their folly. But that's their wisdom. That's their instinct. That's their base animalistic instincts. And that, in God's eyes, is their folly. That's what makes people appear like beasts to the Heavenly Father. Reading on.
Yet their posterity approved their sayings.
But their posterity and their children live the exact same way. They don't grow up trying to honor God. It's all about honoring themselves. Like in the animal world. Like in the world of beasts. All right? From there, let's dive in a little bit more into this. Let's go to 2 Peter now. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2. We're going to pick up at verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to pick up at verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 2, and we're going to pick up at verse 12.
2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. But these, as a natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption.
And again, so this is talking about, again, that prideful person. And this is Peter, the one that Christ gave the keys to the kingdom of heaven, saying, but these people are as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. You're an animal. It's all about your instinct. It's all about how you feel. If we look in the dog world, to keep a purebred dog, how many of in the purebred family of those dogs, they're inbred one with another. To keep it purebred, to keep it a pure line. That when them dogs, when a female dog is in heat, any male can have her. It can be her son. It can be her brother. It can be anything. You're in heat. There's no respect of family values. There's no respect or understanding of morals. The instinct is, I'm in heat, and I'm going to have sex.
That's very animalistic. That's very beast-like. Like a beast. A beast will eat anything. So, when God comes back and says, thou shalt not eat pork, shrimp, crab, or lobster, but because a person is hungry, I won't eat what I want. Why? Because you're a beast. I'm going off of my beastly mentality. I'm hungry, so I ate it. You see that with kids. Why do you have to monitor kids, infants, so much? Because an infant will be crawling on the floor, see whatever, and what? Put it in his mouth. If I'm lying, tell me. That I see it, I'm going to put it in my mouth. I'm going to eat it. Why do we have to put child safety locks on cabinets? Why are child safety locks on the bleach? Child safety locks on the Fabuloso? Child safety locks on the medicine? Because in that very base animal instinct, I'm going to eat it. I'm going to drink it. I'm going to smoke it. Because this is how I feel. Like an animal. Like a beast. So again, I'm going to have, you know, I'm going to read this one more time. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. We're seeing now here in the New Testament that, yes, people can be considered beasts. Read that.
2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not.
And we're going to get further into this. We're going to get further. We're going to revisit this scripture here about how beasts, people, speak evil of things they don't understand because they get frustrated. They get flustered. Because they don't understand it, they speak evil of it. It must be bad. So when they don't understand the Bible and things in the Bible, they figure the louder they lash out, that now things are going to change according to how they feel. So the bigger bitch fit I throw, the bigger tantrum I throw, I'm going to get things to go my way. The more of a fool I act, the more ignorant I act, the more animalistic I act, the more I'm going to get things going my way. All right, everybody, I do need to take a quick break just for a second.
Romans 2 and 5,
nope.
Righteous judgment of the Most High, who will
yep.
render unto every man according to his
nope.
deeds, to them who by patience continue
yep.
in some well-doing seek,
nope.
for glory and honor and immorality,
yep.
eternal life. But unto them that are
nope.
contentious and do not obey the
yep.
truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath.
Oh, Frank Lucas.
Yep. You an African-American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga with back?
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' say it?
Nope.
We gon' expose them?
Yep.
Yeah.
They gon' take your life?
Nope.
So many secrets in the vault?
Yep.
Do this knowledge cost?
Nope.
Hop in the book to my?
Yep.
Do we follow these laws?
Nope.
Do they still exist?
Yep.
Have time to wait?
Nope.
Do we have grace?
Yep.
Continue in sin?
Nope.
I'ma ask you again.
Yep.
Should we continue in sin? Christ is the way.
Yep.
Devil gon' win.
Nope.
Tryna make it to heaven.
Yep.
Get there by sinning.
Nope.
Follow the commandments.
Yep.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so why keep on trying? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and save your soul. Never going back.
No.
Forward to the kingdom.
Choices,
yeah.
Yep.
Everybody got choices,
yeah. Yep.
Everybody. Everybody got choices.
Is it cool to be gay?
Nope.
Did he make us straight?
Yep.
Is the Most High plan?
Nope.
You gon' learn today?
Yep.
Do you understand grace?
Nope.
Remember Noah's day?
Yep.
Did more than 8 people live?
Nope.
Will it be the same way?
Yep.
Is the broad way to heaven?
Nope.
Is the broad way to hell?
Yep.
You choosing death over life?
Nope.
You gon' change your life?
Yep.
Do you love these streets?
Nope.
Do you see any police?
Yep.
You wanna get shot down?
Nope.
Do you remember Mike Brown?
Yep.
You ever read your Bible?
Nope.
You wanna know your job?
Yep.
You know you more than a slave?
Nope.
Don't you wanna be saved?
Yep.
You ever been baptized?
Nope.
Wanna get in that water?
Yep.
Ever confess your sins?
Nope.
Ready to lift your hands?
Yep.
Amen.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so I keep on trotting. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and say your soul. Never going back?
No, no, no.
Forward to the kingdom?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gonna choose the Most High or Satan?
To choose
whose light to choose from? You got to choose one. Who you gonna choose? Who you gonna choose?
Should I live a simple life?
Nope.
Should I repent and be baptized?
Yeah.
Will Amalek ever be nice?
Nope.
Was our Savior crucified?
Yeah.
Does this world love the Most High?
Nope.
Is the wicked gonna burn?
Yeah.
Will he power forever?
Nope.
Will we ever get our turn?
Yeah.
To choose from, you got to choose one. Who you gonna choose the Most High or Satan?
To choose
whose light to choose from, you got to choose one. Who you gonna choose? Who you gonna choose?
Got to choose.
Romans 2:5,
nope.
Righteous judgment of the Most High, who will
yep.
render unto every man according to his
nope.
deeds. To them who by patience continue
yep.
in some well-doing seek
no nope.
glory and honor and immorality,
yep.
eternal life. But unto them that are
nope.
contentious and do not obey the
yep.
truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath.
Frank Lucas.
Yep. You an African American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga with back?
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they...
I do apologize for that, brothers and sisters. I guess my mom still thinks today is Mother's Day. you know you're getting old when you say things like, bless her heart. I think Pastor Plot said that on the last show. You know, what verse are we at?
2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, be evil of the things that they understand not.
Right. That they, when it goes against your instinct, when God's law goes against your instinct, goes against your base carnal, fleshly impulses, you'll speak evil of it. Now all of a sudden the Bible is man-made. Now all of a sudden the Bible has got too many interpretations. Now all of a sudden it's just every excuse about why you're going to continue with your animalistic, base, beastly way of thinking as opposed to now doing things God's way. You say you'll speak evil of it. You'll speak evil of the Bible and God's law. Because it goes against what you feel as a beast. God says don't eat pork, and you're like, nope, it's the other white meat. God says don't eat catfish, shrimp, or lobster. You've been taught, especially by the colonizers, no, those are delicacies. That's good living. That's good eating. That I've made it. In my honor, I can go to my freezer, and I've got lobster. Or I just went to the store and got a live lobster out the aquarium, boiled it, and we had lobster tails. We had crab legs with the lemon sauce, with the lemon sauce and the butter. Because that is what an honorable man in this society, those are things he eats. And it's just so delicious. And it's just so good. I'll never put this down. I'm going to keep smoking cigarettes. Even though the first time I smoked a cigarette, I coughed. My body rejected it. I'm going to keep doing it because I like it. To the point where, again, I'm going to smoke so much, but I get throat cancer. And I got to get that little voice box thing so I can speak. Because I'm going to do me. I'm not going to let anybody intrude upon my liberty to live the way I want to live, not even God himself. So when you're in that beastly mentality that creeps up a lot, if God's law says one thing, you're speaking evil of why you don't have to follow that, why you're going to follow your base animal instinct, your base animal impulse. Reading on.
And shall utterly perish in their own corruption.
And will utterly perish in their own corruption. Now let's get Psalms 94 and verse 8.
Psalms chapter 94, verse 8. Understand, ye brutish among the people.
Understand this, you brutish among the people. And we're going to have to get to the definition of brute and brutish. But again, it's calling people what? Brutish. Understand, ye brutish among the people. Go ahead.
And ye fools. When will ye be wise?
And we're going to come back and revisit this scripture also. When is when are brute beasts going to finally understand God's way and become and use real wisdom? When is a man going to stop going by his instincts and his feelings and actually go by God's wisdom? Not a superstition, not a sixth sense, but actually go by God's wisdom, what's written in God's word. When is a brutish man going to finally do this? That's the question God's asking. That's the question the Creator's asking. When are you going to stop going by your instincts and how you feel and actually do what God says? And not because of what you saw in a dream. Not because of what you saw in a movie. Not because when you got the chicken bones, you threw them on the plate, and according to the order they landed on the plate, that's how you're going to live your life? Because you looked at the palm of your hand and looked at the lines in the palm of your hand, and that's how you're going to determine and guide your life? That's ridiculous. That's irrational. That don't make sense. But in a society that's been established by a bunch of brutish people, in a society that's been established by people who just go off their instincts, something like that would make sense. Something like that would make sense. So let's look at the definition of brute. All right? And this is from the Webster's 1828. And I'm just going to read it. A brute is somebody who's senseless, unconscious as the brute earth. Definition number two, irrational. Ferine as a brute beast. You're irrational. It's all about your feelings. So you really can't ration things out. You're irrational. It's all about you satisfying how you feel. The Snickers commercial, boom, boom. You're a beast. I'm irrational. I can't stop until I satisfy this impulse. If it's pedophilia, if it's rape, if it's even bestiality, what are you doing? You're satisfying an impulse. And at the time you're doing it, it makes sense. Even though in God's eyes it's senseless, in that brute beast eyes, in that brute beast mind, it makes sense because that's how I felt. That's how I felt. I'm just going by my feelings. That's why you're a brute. That's why you're a beast. Number three, bestial. In common with beasts, as brute violence. Violence. You share the same characteristic as an animal. What did the pilgrims do to Native Americans when they came and conquered New England? As beasts, they killed them. They slaughtered them. And every year we commemorate that for Thanksgiving, how the pilgrims and the colonizers slaughtered the Native Americans who taught them how to live and survive the winters here in the Americas. Had the nerve to call the Native Americans savages. This is number four, rough, uncivilized, insensible, as a brute philosopher. It's just about satisfying how you feel as a noun. Well, we first read brute as an adverb. Now it says brute as a noun. A beast. Any animal destitute of reason. Or, and of course, the word corresponds or comprehends. If you got that, read that.
Brute, a beast, any animal destitute of reason. And of course, the word comprehends all animals except man. But it's applied mostly to larger beasts.
Yeah.
A brutal person, a savage in heart or manners.
A brutal person, a savage in heart or your manners. Come on.
A low breed, unfeeling man.
A low breed, unfeeling man. You have no empathy for nobody else. You have no remorse about anything you do because you satisfied your feeling. So if you murdered, killed, whatever, as long as you satisfied your feelings, you're content. Don't they call them psychopaths? All you know how to do is satisfy your lust, if it's a bloodlust, if it's a sexual lust, if it's a food lust. You're savage. And you're not going to let nothing or nobody get in the way of reason. You're irrational. And in God's eyes, to operate in that mind capacity, you're a beast. You're a beast. We are beasts. Let me be more accurate. We are beasts. Now let's get Psalms chapter 92 and verse 6.
Psalms chapter 92 and verse 6. A brutish man knoweth not.
So a brutish man knoweth not. What is that a brutish man doesn't know? The ways of God. The ways of God. All the brutish man knows is how his feelings, how to satisfy his feelings. You're a beast. We're beasts. Read on.
He that doth a fool understand this.
And a fool that has no understanding about, that's why, you know, in the scripture, Christ told us, he said, in your patience, possess your souls. But how many people are just impatient? You get road rage, throw temper tantrums. You don't understand why you have to wait. You don't understand, all you understand is your privilege. You're right of way. You're a brute. You're a beast. You're very animalistic. Now let's revisit Psalms 94, verse 8.
Psalms chapter 94 and verse 8. Understand, ye brutish among the people.
It's time for people that are brutish to understand God's ways. Just because you throw a temper tantrum and you've conquered and you make a bigger gun, a bigger weapon, you throw a bigger bitch fit, you're going to finally understand. You're going to finally understand. You're going to finally come to understand God's way. That just because you get mad, angry, upset, depressed, or whatever, doesn't mean that you're changing God's mind. That you're going to change how God does things. And you know, that's why a brutish person will say, is this wisdom? I have to use patience. Is this really wisdom? I'm not able to satisfy my feeling right now. So is this really wisdom? Is it really worth the wait? It's my money. I want it now. Ain't that the same mentality that Esau expressed with Jacob? I want that red meat now. I'm hungry now. I want to eat now. I'm not going to wait for the food to cook. And if I got to sell my birthright, I'll sell my birthright. I don't care. I have to satisfy this feeling I have now. And we carry that same mentality to this day. That's why it says a brutish man was asking, when is a brutish man going to finally understand God's way? And it says,
and ye fool, when will ye be wise?
And you brutish and us beastly people, when are we going to finally start using God's wisdom? From there, I want to look up the word brutish in Webster's 1828 dictionary. I want to look up the word brutish in Webster's 1828 dictionary. Got it.
Brutish, like a brute or beast. Insensible. Stupid. As brutish men.
You're insensible. The only sense you have is the current sense, that the impulse that you're riding off of at that particular moment. You're stupid. God's calling you stupid. What else you got?
Unfeeling, savage, ferocious, brutal.
These are all the definitions for brutish. And these are, it's supposed to be just being the animal kingdom, but there are a lot of people who operate this way. There are society. There are colonizers who've operated this exact same way since their arrival. Read.
Gross.
In God's eyes, if you're brutish, what does God call you?
Gross.
God calls you gross. Because you're liable to do anything. You are liable to do anything. You're liable to eat anything. You're liable to lay down with anything. You're gross. In the scriptures, God talks about a dog returning and eating his own vomit. Why would a dog return and eat his own vomit, being an animal, being a beast? The dog vomited this, whatever he vomited, because it made him sick. Why go back and eat the thing that got you sick? Because as an animal, you like it. As an animal, you're hungry. I don't care. I'm insensible. I'm hungry, so I'm eating. Why you got something to say about how I'm eating? Why don't you stay in your lane? We can look at certain National Geographic channels or history channels. You see people eating roadkill. You see hungry people eating out of a garbage can. You see people, what possessed you? Who was the first person to eat some maggots?
beetles and cockroaches and dogs. An octopus, just because you can, because you're hungry. You're gross. You're brutish. You're a beast. Definition number three from Webster's 1828 dictionary for brutish.
Gross. Carnal.
Uh-oh. Oh, yes, you know we're going to be going in on this right here. You're carnal. Reading on.
Bestial.
Reading on.
Definition four. Ignorant. Uncivilized. Untaught.
You ain't been taught God's way. But colonized will have us believe that once they arrived and brought their gross, ungodly ways, that they brought civilization. Colonizers believe that they're the civil people. They brought civility while everybody else is a bunch of savages. Who would hunt a deer and then eat the heart, the warm heart, raw, warm heart?
Thinking it's a rite of passage, becoming a man. Thinking it's a rite of passage, becoming a boy into a man as a hunter.
That's crazy. That's gross. That's ignorance. That's untaught. That's uncivilized. Rocky Mountain oysters. For those who don't know, Rocky Mountain oysters are bull testicles. Where you have people actually go and shoot down a bull, an elk, a moose, just to cut the testicles off and leave all the rest of the animal lying there. The horns, the meat, the ribs, the tenderloin, leave everything else just to cut the testicles off this animal. They can eat the testicles. That's brutish. That is brutish. That's ignorance. That's uncivilized. That's gross. That's carnal. That's beast-like. So this is how people were operating in Genesis chapter 1, verse 25. No different than the animal kingdom. No different than a bunch of animals. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 2. Let's go to the book of Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 2.
Proverbs chapter 30 verse 2. Surely I am more brutish than any man and have not the understanding of a man.
So here Solomon is letting us know, surely I am more brutish than any man. Solomon said he searched out wickedness. He searched out every level of wickedness. So we're talking from bestiality to whatever gods are out there among other nations, he went and searched out and worshiped every last god he possibly could, indulging in whatever psychopathic drug he could, whatever type of different sex he could have. He was a beast. Aleister Crowley, for those who might know who that guy is, he called himself the beast, that he was going to experience every pleasure that there is available on the planet Earth. He was going to experience it. From eating dookie, getting peed on, anal sex, having a mouse run up your rectum, and as the mouse is suffocating while he's stuffing your rectum, trying to breathe and get out,
that somehow thickens your prostate that gives you a bigger orgasm? Eating menstrual blood on a woman's cycle. Drinking male ejaculate. Bringing animals into the bedroom. Solomon said he searched out all wickedness just for the senses. And you know what the code word for that is today? I'm just getting in touch with myself. I need to get grounded somewhere and just get in touch with myself. What am I feeling? What am I thinking? Where is this putting my mind at? You know, when me and Yanalta were coming up younger, there was a commercial. Let me slow down my talking also. When me and Yanalta were younger, there used to be a commercial that you say, Mikey, give to Mikey. He eats everything. He likes it. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
The mentality of I'll try anything once. I don't know. I might like it. That's a very beastly mentality. That's a very animal mentality. YOLO, you only live once. Live life to its fullest. I want to experience everything that life has to offer. So I'm going to eat anything. I'm going to try anything. I'm going to do anything. Fear factor. I'm going to push it to the limit. I'm going to push the boundaries. I gotta just push harder, push farther. I can't let nobody put me in a box. I've got to experience. I gotta feel it. That whole mentality is beastly because it has you completely ignore God's word, God's law, God's way of doing things. The only thing that governs you is your feelings. Is your impulses. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 14. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 14.
Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 14. Every man is brutish in his knowledge.
Read that again.
Every man is brutish in his knowledge.
Every man is brutish in his knowledge. When it's just about what you know and how you feel, every man is brutish, is a savage, is stupid, is uncivilized, is ferocious. When it's just about what you know, again, know being the root word of the word knowledge, I'm just going by what I know. And why'd you do that? I don't know. I just felt it. Before you did that, did you consider this or that? Nope. I just at the time I just felt like it was the right thing to do. Real talk. I got to be honest. That's just how I was feeling. I got to tell the truth. Every man's got to live their own truth. This is how I was truly feeling, so I just went with it. You do understand, in God's eyes, you're not right. In the God of the Bible, that was very beastly. That was very uncivilized. That was very savage. That was very bestial. That was very animalistic. You do understand in God's eyes what you did was gross. To you, you don't think it's gross.
That's why you might come back and say, well, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. So is God entitled to his opinion also? Did that apply to God? Or the retort is, well, that's the interesting interpretation you have of the Bible. I don't see it that way. I don't feel that's what the message really is about. And all that is based 100% on what? Your feelings and your impulses. Can we read that one more time, please?
Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 14. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image.
Every founder is confounded by a graven image. They used to have a metal shop back when I was in middle school. I don't even know if they even have it anymore. But they had a metal shop. And in metal shop, they have what's called a foundry, where you'd have to take the certain type of sand, and you would take a mold. And once you got your sand packed hard around this mold, you would pour whatever molten metal that you had. It was called a foundry, and you actually made something. So here, in the scripture, it says that every founder is confounded by the graven image, that everybody by their own knowledge will make what they think is important, precious, sentimental. That's only important, precious, sentimental to you. You made that. You grow that. You made that graven image. You made that of importance. God didn't. God that has a Bible.
That's important to him.
That's important to him. You don't need, because it's important to you, that's not supposed to be important to him. You made that. And it's not just talking about Molech. It ain't just talking about Ashtoreth. It ain't talking about the Ankh. It ain't talking about just the cross. It ain't talking about just a statue or a trophy. It's whatever you came up with in your mind that you made important that got nothing to do with God's word. It's got nothing to do with what God set apart as something special for himself. And he gave us a list of things he finds special. You find in the first five books of the Bible called the Torah. He's very clear about what he finds special. Everything outside of that is a graven image. You made that important, not him. Reading on.
For his molten image is falsehood.
For him, what you made is falsehood. You made that important.
And there is no breath in them.
And guess you can't give nothing that you find important, you can't put no life to it. Now check this out. Let's get to Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 17. We just read Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 14. Now we're jumping 40 chapters. 40 chapters later, let's read this here. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 17.
Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 17. Every man is brutish by his knowledge.
Come on out. Jeremiah 51, 17.
Every man is brutish by his knowledge.
God's about to repeat himself. The exact same thing he just said in Jeremiah 10, 14 is the exact same thing he's coming back and saying in Jeremiah 51, 17. You think God's trying to get a message across? But you know why people miss the message? You don't read. You're ignorant. We're untaught. You're taught, what's Burger King? Have it your way. You're taught from a kid, McDonald's, I'm loving it. We're taught from a kid, just do it.
You do you, boo.
Yeah, you do you, boo. These type of images and sayings have been programmed in us from our youth.
from damn infancy. Those who go by God's word, if you love it, then that's all. McDonald's, I'm loving it. With Sprite, obey your thirst. Just do it. These subliminal messages that have been bombarding us since we've been here. So now, because that programming has taken place, we come back now and read God's word, and now it's an issue. It's a problem. It's hard to comprehend. Now people get headaches. That can't be my Jesus. That can't be my God. We're reading the Bible. If your God is the God of the Bible, then who the hell is your God? Jeremiah 51:17.
Every man is brutish by his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. For his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them.
Now, every man is brutish by his knowledge. From there, let's go to 1 Corinthians 2:14. 1 Corinthians 2:14. We're going to go to the book of 1 Corinthians 2:14.
1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God.
The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why?
For they are foolishness unto him.
To do things God's way to a natural man, God's way is foolish because it doesn't allow me to obey my thirst. It doesn't allow me to fulfill or satisfy the feeling, the lust, the impulse, the urge, the craving that I have. So to do it God's way, that's foolish. That's going to take too long. I can't satisfy me right now. Read.
Neither can he know them.
And the things of God? You're not going to know the things of God. Neither can he know them. Go ahead.
Because they are spiritually discerned.
Because they are spiritually discerned. Now I'm asking for you now for myself again right here. I got it. We're going to go to the John Gill commentary. And I'm asking, you're not going to read this?
The natural man.
All right, so this is from the John Gill's commentary on 1 Corinthians 2:14. All right, and we, if you get the John Gill commentary and go to 1 Corinthians 2:14, it's kind of a long, extensive commentary. But we're going to start here from where John Gill is going to refer to the natural man. All right, let's read that.
The animal man.
So the natural man is the animal man. You're going by your instincts. You're going by your impulses. So when it says the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, the animal man cannot receive the things of God. Reading on.
One who lives in a natural state.
You just go by what you know naturally. You just go by what you feel, what you think, how you grew up. Well, this is just me. Well, you know what? This is just me. If you don't like it, then forget you and the horse you rode in on. I got to live my life the way I know how to live my life. I just got to be me. Like an animal. People act like they're making a statement. that you're saying something so profound and so new and so extraordinary. I just got to be me. I just got to be myself. Well, live or die. This is me. If you don't like it, well, If God's like, guess I'll die again. Does this just mean? I'm gonna do what I like. This is my life. You only got one life. You know, for those obviously who don't know the Bible, you only got one life to live. This is my life, so I got to do what's best for me in my life. This is how I'm living. This is my constitution. This is my world. This is me. This is just how it is. I got to live my truth. The natural man is the animal man, the one who lives in a natural state. Go ahead.
And under the influence of his animal passions.
And the natural man is the one who lives under the influence of his animal passions. Yep.
Means the inferior and sensual part of man.
The inferior and sensual part of man. Go ahead.
In opposition to the...
Now, these are Greek words. The Greek words that are used here is what he's defining. Now, I'm going to ask you, now I get you a restroom real quick. I'm asking now time to go ahead and read the definition for carnal. Take your time for a second.
Carnal, pertaining to flesh.
That was part of the natural man. One of the definitions for natural was carnal. So to be that natural man who don't receive the things of the Spirit of God and being carnal, now you're defining what it means to be carnal. And you can talk a little bit more. I'll need you help.
Fleshly. Sensual. You're all about your senses. What feels good to you? What comes to your mind? You want to satisfy that desire, that urge. Opposed to spiritual, you got no knowledge, no purpose about learning how to be right with the Most High. Everything that the Most High in the book, the Bible, is totally against. You're totally against it. You don't want to have nothing to do with it. That's carnal pleasure. You just want to be you. You want to do what you want. You're carnal. You got... Being in the natural state, just like we went over with earlier, it's all about your senses, all about what you want to do. Natural. You have no, you're all about your passions, your desires.
One moment here. I looked up something here.
Unregenerate means brutish, like a brute or a beast. Goes back and being insensible, stupid, unfeeling, savage, ferocious, gross, carnal, all these definitions of a brutish person that we've been over before here, untaught, uncivilized. The carnal mind is an enmity against God, Romans chapter 8. Being carnal-minded. You're an enemy of God. With that type of mind, the Most High looks at you as you're his enemy. Another definition for carnal in the Webster's 1913 dictionary, of or pertaining to the body or its appetites, animal, fleshly, sensible, lustful. You go after every lust that comes to your mind, whether it be sexual, food, just wanting to be you and do what you want. Human or worldly.
All right. The ones that I wrote, I didn't hear. I don't know what's wrong, but being carnal. How far you got?
Romans chapter 8. I mean, we even went and looked up the word unregenerate.
And what'd you get?
Brutish.
Cool. So I'll come back around that even from the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 25, from 21 through 25, where God calls us creatures, and also God calls us beasts, or you use the word beast, that yes, this was also included humans. And when you operate in a carnal state, that this is going all the way back before the creation of Adam and Eve, that you had people that were already operating on this frequency, on this very base frequency, a very carnal frequency, as pertaining to just what made them feel good, according to this again, to their own impulses. So, as it came back, we're going to read Romans 8, 17 one more time. 8 and 7 one more time.
Romans chapter 8 and verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. This is Romans 8. Let me close this.
Cool. So in Romans 8 and verse 7, it says, for the carnal mind,
get back,
because the carnal mind, or that what? That beastly mind, that brutish mind, that mind that's just stuck on what pleases your body, what pleases you. For whatever lust, whatever emotion you might have going on at a particular time, that carnal mind, you're insensible, you're irrational. It's all about what you feel at that time. And nothing else matters. There's no consideration. There's no empathy. There's no circumspection. There's no true wisdom. It's just feeling right now. What is going on in my head right now? That's it. There's nothing else going on. And to have that mind, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Now we're looking at the word enmity. Enmity. You got that? All right, it's right here. Enmity. The quality of being an enemy. So, in our carnal mind, we are what? The quality of being an enemy. We are God's enemy, and God is our enemy. Because now, God's laws and God's ways are going against God's field. It's going against my impulse. It's going against my instincts. So now God's way is an enemy to me. Go ahead. The opposite of friendship. I'm not friendly with God. The only time a carnal person is friendly with God is if it goes according to how they feel. Reading on. Ill will. To be an enmity with God is to have ill will against God.
Why would God have me do this when God knows my heart? God knows what I like. Does any of these phrases sound familiar? God knows what I like. God knows my heart. Why would God put this here when he knows that's what I like? You know, if God didn't want me to have it, then why did he make it available? That's carnal. That's beastly. That's brutish. What else we got? Hatred. And to be an enemy of God, you have a hatred against God. You hate the way God does things because it goes against your feelings. It goes against what your impulse is at that particular time. Reading on.
Unfriendly dispositions.
It's unfriendly. You have an unfriendly disposition against God. You're mad. You're bitter. You're angry. Go ahead.
Male violence.
Yeah.
It expresses more than aversion and less than malice, and differs from displeasure in denote a fixed or rooted hatred, whereas displeasure is more transient.
So we're going to end it with that as we heard the time has expired. This is a quick 2 hours. We do want to thank everybody for tuning in. Let me do this right here. Come right here. We hit it right here. Thank you for tuning in on this Monday night, this Monday edition of Sword Troopers in Bible Talk. Please tune in tomorrow morning for Tuzzapot Tuesday. Tuzzapot Tuesday. As Tuzzapot will be at the helm tomorrow morning as he gives us further edification and understanding in the way of the Most High and the excellent job that he's doing. We still invite you to please check out all ISBHBK YouTube channels, ISBHBK Houston, ISBHBK Norfolk, ISBHBK San Antonio, and support. We do need y'all support, all right? Without your tithes, without your help, without your alms, it's hard for us to do this. We're still maintaining, but it's hard for us to do this. So with that, my name is Rashad.
You're now with on.
Well, thank everybody for tuning in. Hold up. As I want to do this touch spot thing. Let's give the Most High in Christ a hand for giving us some edification. And as you know, this was...
All right. You're going to learn today.
And with that, we're going to say shalom.